This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome back to the Stadio Podcast. I'm Mr. Ponga.
I'm Ryan Hun.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm right, thanks, man. How are you?
Very well, indeed. Indeed. One of my favourite roll necks on.
Oh yeah, keeping warm.
Always, always. In and out. Warm exterior of a warmer soul, a warmer heart.
Do you want to know the official temperature in Berlin at the moment?
Goodness. Of course, I'm not in Berlin, so undisclosed location. What is it?
It's -6 degrees centigrade.
-6.
I'm going to drop to -10.
That's wild. That's wild.
Canadians, anyone who emails us will be blocked. Have a good new year and stuff.
Yeah, great. I mean, the only thing I've done wrong this year so far, otherwise flawless year for me, is that I packed the wrong overcoat on my way to the UK.
Oh, no.
I was like, in Berlin, it's like minus something, but here it's a bit warmer. So I packed the wrong coat. I mean, to be fair, the coat I was going to pack looks a bit ridiculous and it might have felt a bit OTT. So not being too hard on myself, but I should have packed a warmer coat. But that's my only thing. How about yourself? How are you keeping?
I mean, I got loads of complaints for 2024 so far. We're only 8 days in. How long have you got? How long have you got?
Going to need a bigger boat.
But watched a load of stuff over Christmas and New Year, which is good.
Wonderful.
Got a Die Hard rewatching.
Yeah, I did.
It's been a while since I watched Die Hard.
Die Hard, all the Hunger Games movies, rewatched all of those.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Watched the prequel, which I quite enjoyed, and then watched the four movies. Then rewatched all the Maze Runners. Yeah. Shout out to Will Poulter.
Can you go?
Doing work. Yeah. Will was doing, look at my dystopian kick.
Nice. I was a little Christmas bit poorly over New Year, so I treated myself to a nice, joyful New Year's Eve movie. I watched The Deer Hunter.
Oh my God. Can I say there's a group...
Really saw in the new year with some vibes.
There's a group of movies that are artistically, stylistically and creatively brilliant that I'll never watch again. Deer Hunter is absolutely top five alongside 21 Grams.
Oh God. I'm sure we'll touch on some other stuff, TV, film, things, but Happy New Year, everyone. This is our first podcast of 2024. We hope everyone is staying safe and staying well, wherever you are. Seeing in the new year with some admin.
Everyone's happy place.
Righty's House is already up. Moussa Okwonga and Flo Lloyd-Hughes joined Ian in the aftermath of Arsenal's 2-0 defeat to Liverpool at home in the FA Cup yesterday to talk about that and a couple of other bits, which is great because it means that I don't really have to talk about it.
Or for Liverpool fans, Liverpool's 2-0 win over Arsenal in the FA Cup. There we
exactly.
Go. We contain multitudes.
Thanks to everyone who got in touch after the... Christmas Day episode for football things to be grateful for in 2023 and in the aftermath of the Stadios.
Thank you for everyone who got in touch before the Stadios to ask for them, which again was no one because no one's ever asked for the Stadios.
Nope.
Ever. How many years now and no one's requested it?
I don't know how long the statute of limitations is on spoilers on the Stadios, but if you haven't listened to them yet, we won't spoil it. But thanks to everyone who got in touch, wholeheartedly agreeing with the catfish of the year winner. I felt quite vindicated off the back of that because we kind of teased it out a little bit a couple of episodes before, didn't we? So
it's an all-timer.
I'm immensely proud of that, actually.
Do you know how like the Booker Prize like announced the best 25 of the 20 last 25 of the Bookers announced the best Booker of the last 25 and it was Salman Rushdie's Midnight's Children. This is a while back. if Stadio is going for a substantial period longer, we should award the Catfish of Catfish. Like the Super Catfish.
The Lifetime Catfish.
The Super Catfish Show. The Super Catfish Show, we should.
I mean, there was part of me that was very tempted just to never do another Stadio episode after that. I was just like, I think I'm...
It's the walk-off.
I think this is it.
Walk-off episode, yeah. Mic drop.
Ryan Hun and Musa Gwang have parted ways by mutual consent. Anyway, today we thought that it's kind of a weird period in football, the first week or so in January. So we thought that we would actually do a little bit of a mailbag. Now, we put the questions out to people who are subscribed to the Stadio newsletter. If you want to sign up for the newsletter, go to stadio.football, scroll to the bottom, pop your email address in. It's going to be a lot more frequent this year. Maybe not as long each time, but a little bit, you know, a little bit more punchy. And it will contain a little bit more, you know, like a heads up and some stuff before it goes on socials. Yeah. So thanks to everyone who submitted questions. We're not going to get through all of them, but we're going to do a few.
I mean, basically, just to say, if Pace and Power was a newsletter, it would be the Stadio newsletter.
Oof. Wow.
There it is.
Arriving in your inbox with an urban finish, Moose, is that what you say? I miss those days. I miss your urban finish tweets.
I miss them too. Anyway,
It was when Twitter was still functional.
Yes, that's true.
Do we want to talk about any football quick before we get into that stuff? Quick FA Cup shouts?
Yeah, very quickly, I think. Yes.
You talked about Arsenal on Righty's House, so do we leave that there, or does anyone want my? I mean, I thought Arsenal played quite well, actually.
I thought some of the football they played was absolutely beautiful. I thought actually everything but the end product. And I don't say that in a negative way. I mean, the first 20 minutes in particular was gorgeous to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It really was a treat, and they can draw great, great strength from that, you know. And if Odegaard puts that just 2 inches lower and it comes 1-0, then I think it ends up being not a fairly straightforward win, but I think a decisive win. And yeah, they're just some gorgeous football there to go and watch and remind themselves what they're capable of producing at their best.
Yeah, it's a strange thing going on with Arsenal at the moment. I think I'm probably, in no surprise to anyone, a little bit more glass half full than glass half empty about it, because I think the fact that Arsenal are creating opportunities and actually still playing pretty well in games.
Yep.
That they've lost in, maybe apart from the Fulham game.
Mm.
Although even then, you know, before when they took the lead, they were still, I think, playing pretty well.
Mm.
I think unlocking something borderline intangible, even though it results in something tangible, as in like finishing, I think is a lot easier to do than, say, for example, if Arsenal were just getting completely bulldozed in every single game. Like that. Do you know what I mean? I think even with Liverpool's injuries, Arsenal still got a few injuries as well. And I think that the performance in the first half particularly, and even up to maybe like an hour or so in, yeah, goals are super important. I don't want to go easy on Arsenal because of that. But the league is the priority this season. And the league, and also I think, to be honest, the way that it's shaping up, the Champions League is as well. I think it's quietly a really, really big opportunity there to do something.
Huge opportunity.
And yeah, no one wants to go on a run like this, but I think if there was going to be a game where, how do I phrase this without completely diminishing the importance of it? But I think I'd rather have this game before a little break than a league game that resulted in the same way.
I completely agree with that.
And also in terms of the league stuff, because we've been off while that all happened, and it's just a lovely little support argument for the reason why I don't class anything that happens between Christmas Day and New Year's Day as real football. So I just don't pay any attention to it. It's like almost like a metaphorical footballing Bermuda Triangle for me. I'm just like, no.
It's funny because it's also my favorite part of the year. It's my favorite part of the year, actually.
Football wise?
No, it's like spiritually.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I mean,
football-wise, I have no interest.
I'm not religious, but I enjoy that kind of that week between Christmas and New Year.
Oh my goodness.
Is my like favorite kind of week of the year, just in terms of, yeah, nothing's really going on. This is
great. You know what's amazing? Nobody asks for you. Nobody asks for you. You can absolutely go deep cover. Yeah, no one knows who you are. You're off the grid.
Moose, the ghost of Christmas catfish.
My happiest place. Oh my god.
Oh, actually, I watched Muppets Christmas Carol.
So great.
And also, do you know what always happens whenever I watch that movie? I end up singing that "We're Marley and Marley" song. Woo! I wrote that piece about the St. Pauli game when the Hamburg Derby when. A chunk gets stuck in your head. Thanks, man. And also your Rasmus Højlund piece went up over Christmas and New Year. That was a lovely piece to read. But yeah, when you get like a chant stuck in your head for ages, that Marley and Marley tune was in my head for a good 5 days.
I want to say this, it's a bit of a segue because I was thinking of people who brought so much, if you think of individuals who brought so much joy to humans, and like Jim Henson of our generation is like top five. And this is a segue to Mario Zagallo, who passed away a couple of days ago, who has played for Brazil in 1958 alongside Pele, then won the FA Cup, won the World Cup with them as coach in 1970, maybe the greatest national team of all time, arguably the greatest team of all time. It's still a conversation about that. And I was thinking when Zagallo died, thinking, you think of the happiness, the joy that man brought, that human being brought to civilization in their lifetime, in the 92 years, pretty incredible. Him, Jim Henson, these are people that when they died, it was like that person brought, you know, to a world that is at the moment particularly bleak.
Mm.
Really remarkable. And there was the Jim Henson thing was like, yeah, that man came and he saw. I remember thinking the obituary should be, he came, he saw, he brought joy. I think that's true of Henson, that's true of Zagallo. I don't have to mention that because my Brazilian friends were like, not in mourning because, you know, he's 92, like he had a great innings, but there was a sadness there. There's a great sadness there. But yeah. Shout out to Jim. Shout out to Mario.
And shout out to Maidstone United.
Yes.
Who I think was my pick of the FA Cup round, of this round.
Rightly so.
From National League South.
The sixth tier.
Beating League One side Stevenage 1-0.
That is incredible.
That was my game of the round.
And that's fair. It stands so far out, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. Because I think, to be honest, there weren't many huge, huge, huge upsets.
There weren't, actually, to be honest.
Everything Arsenal kind Liverpool, of went by...
It actually delivered. As a cup tie, it delivered. Which isn't often that a game of that profile actually delivers the quality of football, but it really did. I suppose the other noteworthy aspect of the FA Cup rounds is the return of Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Who looked sharp. Well, as you'd expect, he's well rested.
He's got a little bit of Nomad Cap vibes about him. Yeah.
I thought you'd clock that. I was like, right, I was going to see that.
Well, I clocked him when he was warming up a few weeks ago. And I was a bit like, Nomad Kev. We've got Nomad Kev back in the air.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, they cruised past against Huddersfield 5-0 at home. But yeah, I mean, like maybe Bolton drawing at Luton, I think was a good result for Bolton. Well, great result for Bolton, actually. But I think Bristol City drawing at West Ham, that's getting a replay, going back to Bristol City. That's a really, really big result as well. But a lot of stuff kind of went on.
On form, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, or Villa away at Middlesbrough, I think was a potential
big for Villa
slip
too.
Up. And to get out of there, okay, was big for Villa. Obviously, Newcastle winning the derby against Sunderland 3-0.
It's more straightforward in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, all of the hype before was about, you know, the stuff around that hospitality suite.
Sunderland decorate, for those two people that haven't heard, Sunderland decorating the hospitality suite in Newcastle colours. I mean, just, it's a derby. Yeah, I mean, let's not get into.
There was a righty's house after the Palace Everton game with the red card, talking about the red card from Dominic Calvert-Lewin, which I still can't believe was a red, personally.
Mm.
feels like a while ago that though. This is actually one thing that I really don't like about this FA Cup round is that it has now taken place over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days.
I mean, look, winter break, people. Winter break for all of it.
I was talking to Flo about this the other day, actually, about saying, you know, because there's like a Premier League, it's a semi-Premier League break now, right, where they stagger the fixtures over 2 weekends, so half the teams get a break and then the other teams get a break after that. And actually, whether there's a way to just completely stop Premier League football. So the weekend before Christmas is like the last round of Premier League fixtures.
Yeah.
And you just leave Boxing Day and all of between Christmas and New Year to the Championship, lower leagues. You know, Boxing Day might drive more people to local games, you know, because that's a big discussion about the 3 p.m. blackout, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it would affect local teams lower down the pyramid? I think if you just create a whole space of like 10 days or so, 2 weeks between Christmas and then the week after the FA Cup third round of the Premier League, where the Premier League just gets out of the way, I think that would be sick.
And they could do it if they wanted to.
Yeah, they could do it because they're doing it now, but they could do it. I know there's a lot of like the British tradition of Boxing Day football and stuff, but you don't lose that. You just remove the Premier League because it got to a point where like some of the games I didn't think were that great over Christmas and New Year. I don't think the quality is always there. Everyone looks a bit knackered.
I think Andy Brassel went to West Ham Brighton and he posted something about this is a great advert for a winter break because the players just look knackered.
Yeah.
The players look knackered.
And I know that that means, well, you know, what about the rest of the divisions? But I think Flo came up with, when I was talking to Flo about this, Flo came up with a really good point where the Championship in particular, you know, they have so many fixtures to fulfill. It's not, they can't really afford to take a whole week off at that point where they can get that many fixtures in.
I just wonder whether games.
I don't know, man. I mean, I would be, you know, speaking as a fan of a Premier League side, I would be delighted if there was no Premier League football between Christmas and New Year.
No, absolutely, absolutely.
Any other football stuff you want to shout out while we're here?
Yeah, we just have to very quickly mention Napoli's defeat to Torino 3-0.
Ooh.
In Serie A. And Napoli now, actually, they might struggle a little to get Champions League.
I think they will.
So that's worth mentioning. And really, obviously, that title challenge is long gone. But really quite serious there now. I mean, look, it's not life-threatening, come on. But just in terms of their season, well and truly disappointing follow-up to their Championship season last year.
Yeah.
That's the only result that really stuck out to me.
I mean, a late winner for Vlahovic for Juve against Salernitana, which was a big, big result for Juve.
Keeps them in the chase, 2 points off Inter. Yeah.
Top. Inter beat Hellas Verona on the weekend as well. And then Roma drawing with Atalanta, 1-1. In a kind of semi, sounds kind of Stadio-ish.
It is. Roma Atalanta is very much a...
Yeah.
It's a very much Stadio fixture.
Yeah. There was a load more of the football this weekend, but we can't get through all of it. But
the Napoli one was the standout. The Torino win was the standout for me.
Anyway, should we get on to some of this mailbag stuff?
Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, man, I've got a couple of quick ones that I'm going to sneak on you before we get going.
Go for it.
First one comes from Andrew Blair. It says, Happy New Year, team. Happy New Year, Andrew. Just wanted to send a quick email to say, fine, you win, Musa.
Oh, my God.
As this is the first Christmas and New Year in the 8 years that I've been in Canada that we do not have any snow on the ground, you win this round.
Oh, no. Can I say, actually, it is a genuine shame you don't have snow, because I would have loved you to have snow in Canada, but we know that Berlin's colder, so what are we doing? What are we doing, Andrew? What are we doing? Let's just come together.
Actually, a major thing about the platform formerly known as Twitter kind of becoming obsolete is your 3 a.m. I don't think there is any colder place in the world than Berlin right now tweets. When I used to wake up in the morning and I'd have like 15 mentions being like, Ryan, have a word. Like, you know, the Gary Lineker, like, have a word with him. Yeah, Gascoigne thing. The amount of times that that used to happen to me. Anyway, I got another one for you. Happy New Year, guys. This is from Mohammed. Happy New Year, Mohammed. I bumped into Musa near Oxford Circus.
Yes, he did.
And was wondering if he decided to read The Black Prince by Iris Murdoch. It was a dream come true to meet... not sure about this, Mohammed. Like, it was a dream come true to meet Mr. Eloquence and Sophistication in person.
Oh, my God.
Cheers, Mohammed Hussein.
Mohammed, I'm sorry you met a catfish in the middle of London. No. What a lovely man. He was with a friend of his, and I said, I haven't read it yet because I think I took a photo of it. And I said, let me take a photo of that now and add it to my reading list because I've got a really good, really good and really long reading list, but it's absolutely on it. Mm. What a lovely man. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, goodness me.
Before we get into the other questions, I was going to ask you, you got any goals for 2024, Musa?
Wow. Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
And I've achieved them. It's being proactive. So very simply, it's a really simple thing, but it's like you're going to meet a friend or call a friend and you've got like 2 or 3 days they're available, always pick the first available one. So that's literally, it's very, very simple. But actually that is extended to everything now. It's basically whatever I'm doing this year, always go the extra step. So for example,
got some books.
Yeah, whether it's books, whether it's working on stuff. The other day I was, and it's even simple stuff. The other day I was heading back from catching up with someone. And instead of getting the train back, I just walked it.
And a good walk.
You know what it was? And not everyone's in a position to, and not everyone's got the sort of, you know, the right climate for that. But it was a good like 5K walk. Just like a spontaneous one. And just like spontaneously doing stuff that feels a bit better. And like, you know, obviously like I'm not the most, I don't sort of play that much sport since I stopped playing football regularly. But then remembering, oh, my body really thanked me for that. You know, and just being proactive and just doing stuff that feels like a hassle. So anything that would have felt like slightly more of a hassle last year, this year I'm just doing it.
That's so like wholesome.
Oh, well, thanks. But it's only been a few days, but already I'm noticing like a massive difference.
Nice.
You know, yeah. So that's my kind of, do you have anything like that? Any?
Yeah, I want to beef more this year. Yeah.
It's a question I've got for you, actually, which I'm springing on you. Who was the person, who was the artist who soundtracked last year for you?
That's a good question.
Oh, thank you.
It's a tough one to answer, though, because I feel like I go through phases.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of why I asked it, actually.
I actually don't have an answer for that. It might be a bit of a cop-out, but...
Because there are so many moods to year, aren't there? And there's so many people you're into at different times and unambiguous.
Yeah, and
favorites.
I think I kind of have like a big circulation of stuff. Like I stopped listening to as many albums last year. There were some great albums, but I don't think anything really soundtracked the year because I feel like I do this thing where a new thing comes out and I obsessively listen to it and then I put it away for a bit and then it kind of comes back into circulation. So yeah. But I did a lot of playlisting last year. I made a lot of like random stuff. So I think maybe that's probably why.
I made a New Year's Eve playlist.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So friend of mine, we had dinner before going out at the New Year's and she was like, oh, everyone can cook a dish. And I was like, you know, I've just come back into town. And it was a Sunday. So I hadn't shopped the day before to cook. And I said, look, I haven't shopped to cook a dish. And she said, oh, it's fine. Just like put the playlist together for dinner if you don't mind. So I thought, yeah, why not? And I put this playlist together. And actually, it's New Year's Eve 2024 and somehow brought together, it was a really like optimistic, uplifting bunch of tunes. And the one thing they all had in common was they all start quite fast. They all are like sort of straight in, like opening chord is quite dramatic, quite. And actually now I've been listening to that into the new year and that's kind of my walking soundtrack now.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I was thinking about doing a New Year's Eve playlist, but then after I'd picked the Deer Hunter, I was a little bit worried about where I'd go.
Yeah, you weren't in your right place, yeah.
Happy fucking New Year, everyone. Do you know what I have been doing, actually? I've done yet another rewatch of The Bear, right? I think there's a question on the.
I just started season two, actually.
Oh, dude. But well, because I'd banked Andy Greenwald and Chris Ryan, they're brilliant, The Watch podcast. They had their TV episode of the year podcast went up.
Mm.
And I'd banked it to save for when we were off because I wanted, it was one of the episodes of The Bear season two. And it had Eben Moss Bachrach, who plays Richie, on, and Chris Storer, who's the show creator.
Wow.
And so I wanted to save it because I wanted to sit down and watch that specific episode before I listened to the podcast again. And then that led me to do like a rewatch. But there's one bit in season one where they have the ball breaker tournament and Richie comes outside and like fires his gun and just goes, Merry Christmas, lizards.
Such a John McClane moment, isn't it? It's a very diehard. There are bits there's bits when characters from other shows overlap and you're like, yes. The Bear season one is one of my favorite seasons of anything. And the scene where John Bernthal comes in.
Oh.
I've almost learned that dialogue. I mean, I can't do accents, but I'll literally watch it and like mouth along the bits. Amazing.
And it's the final, the very, very, very final frame of season one, I think is.
Oh my God. With the immortal slogan. I won't spoil it, but that, the three word slogan or motto that he lives by is actually a way to live this year, actually. Mm.
So good.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's move on to some actual questions.
Let's do it, yeah.
So we got the first one from honorary Stadio president.
Oh my God.
Sedentary Gary.
The great man himself.
He says, my question for the mailbag episode is, if you could pick one club's Christmas party to attend, which would it be? Think of all the players and staff in attendance, the food and drink on offer, which one would you go for? Hoping for a prosperous 24 for you, Sales and Stadio. Thanks, Gary. Same to you.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I think mine is a really, really obvious one. And I think it's going to be Betis because Seville in December, the food will be amazing, good vibes, get to see Hector, you know, hang out with Hector a bit.
Yeah. Can I be honest? Mine is actually Aston Villa's this time. I tell you why, because euphoria, right? Like Christmas, Aston Villa at Christmas with everything, the run they're on right now will be person for person, the happiest, like everyone's just going to have these delirious smiles on their faces because post those two big victories over City and Arsenal, multicultural dressing room in the Midlands. So just vibes upon vibes. The food's going to be ridiculous. Going to have like meals from everywhere, little bits of McGinn doing like Jamaican accents. You're going to have like everything, like wholesome vibes. So that alone is going to be incredible. Then out in the town later, so Ross is in town. Oh, like Jack's in town. Ross Barkley and Jack Grealish on the WhatsApp coming down the motorway from like different parts of the country to converge on the Midlands and just it being an absolute vibe. And then just finishing up, falling asleep in an armchair, 4 a.m. after the after party. I think Villa's Christmas would be the most wholesome actually this year.
That'd be a good one.
Santa would definitely have arrived. Do you know what I mean? Like Midlands as well, like Birmingham, what a vibe, man.
Mine was probably too obvious, wasn't it?
No, not at all. No, listen, it's a Christmas. Christmas is about things being obvious and wholesome. If you can't be obvious and wholesome at Christmas, when can you be?
Could have been, do you know what would have been fun actually? This is going to sound like a very un-Ryan take, but actually Bayern's would have been quite fun because
they have a great time.
But also I think like, you know, just chatting to Harry being like, how are you settling in, man? Oh yeah, this happened when I moved. Have you had the first thing in the supermarket yet? Although you're in Munich,
also
you're not in Berlin, so maybe
snow.
Like snow, you know, get Thomas Müller talking about his horses after he's drunk a bit. No matter what time of night it is, you'd look to the corner and Thomas Tuchel is there in the corner, like hands waving, furiously
being
talking about
intense.
Something. Do you know what I mean? And everyone's just a bit like,
You don't make the punch like this. You add this later. You add this like yourself.
Oliver Kahn continuously ringing the doorbell and no one's answering it. He drove 3 hours to go to this really, really amazing Stollen place that he's picked up and no one's letting him in.
Joshua Kimmich gets buried under the coats.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Some good Christmas parties to go to. Right, well, you talked a little bit about music before, right? We got this one from Martin Hanlon, who says, if you could have been present at the recording of any record.
Oh my God, got it.
In history, which one would you choose?
Outcast the Quemini. Outcast the Quemini.
That's so funny because that was one of mine that came to mind.
You're joking. We should do a podcast. No. We should do a podcast. So I was straight in there. See, I was straight in there. Outcast the Quemini. Not even close. It's not even close. Outcast the Quemini. Just to explain the context of that, that would involve being in Atlanta in 1998 when some of the greatest music in modern music history was being made, some of the greatest collectives, and just everyone in and around. So it wouldn't just be the album recording, it would be like the bars before and after, the cafes, the people who'd be in town to record that. Like you could have a legendary night out. You go for a really nice meal with like the woodwind section. Do you know what I mean? The sound engineers, just talk about the craft and just talk about family, talk about life, talk about faith, talk about legacy, all that stuff. It would just be unbelievable. 1998. Unreal. Yeah, that's the one.
Maybe like a Nina Simone thing?
Or like Beatles when they got interesting.
Well, so actually it's funny because I was talking to someone the other day about, you know, the Get Back documentary that came out a few years ago, the Peter Jackson one. And one of the most amazing things about that is watching something that has always existed just in the like in popular culture to us, because seeing them figure it out in real time,
it's amazing. It's
kind of like, this is fucking unreal, right? Whether you're a Beatles fan or not, seeing that process.
No, it's fascinating. Yeah. Honestly, the day when, you know, they were talking about Pep, when Pep finally cracked the false nine thing.
Yeah.
When he was like, Messi can play a false nine, and Pep's in his like this sort of dungeon beneath the Camp Nou, and he finally comes up with it. Seeing that process, like, see, that's the documentary I want to see, actually. Like the props stripped back. Not like Pep uncovered, but the actual, just stripping back the genius of it to the bare bones, the mundane reality. You make the coffee, you know, you take the dog for a walk, and then you just, you know, people doing, geniuses doing mundane things, but all the small mundane acts building up to something beautiful, you know? All the tiny steps on their way to genius. That's fascinating. Nina Simone, wow, that's great.
Prince.
Yeah.
Seeing Prince at that time kind of just like arrive fully.
Yeah.
Sign, and also maybe like one of the Bowie Berlin albums.
Oh my God. Because then it would mean being in Berlin. Iggy Pop just rocking up out of nowhere.
Like just, too many.
Dude, that would be, unbelievable. I'm going to re-listen to those albums, you know.
I mean, the great thing about those Bowie Berlin records is that you have like, the Bowie shit on one side, and then on the other side, it's, you know, it's like Eno's just come back from hanging out with Cluster, making weird electronic music.
Talking of Eno, Talking Heads.
Oh, Talking God, yeah. Heads. Oh, wow. Yeah, all right.
Remain in Light, that actually, because collecting the music, the samples, going to those places.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, that's a close one. Remain in Light. With all the tensions.
Or maybe those...
That's wild.
I mean, maybe Midnight Marauders as well.
Jeez, now we're getting to Fuji's The Score, aren't we?
Hearing those beats for the first time.
This is why I'm saying...
this is so sick.
And this is why I'm still stuck with Outkast. Do you know why? It's because everyone that was in Atlanta at that time.
Yeah.
There's people that are uncredited that had conversations with Andre that probably inspired verses. Mm. That's, it was the whole Soulquarians thing around then. Common was in and around the mix. Badu was there. Everyone was in and around. You had Gangstar at their peak, Wu-Tang a year after Forever, like going on their sort of, not farewell tour, but that kind of, they became like a mega band, like all of that, like this, 98, man. And also for football. So you'd be like trying to explain like the World Cup to Andre, hey, Andre, man, come out for like a, what is this Ronaldo about? Yeah, like Ronaldo was peaking as well, 98 World Cup that summer. I mean, that. Anyway, so yeah, 98, big year. Need to write the essay on that.
1998. Big year.
Need to write the essay on that.
We got another music question.
Wow, love it. Love
Final
it.
One. Jessica Stitzel. I hope I pronounced that right, Jessica. We've done it with the German pronunciation. Jessica says, I recently went to my first ever Premier League match, Wolves at Arsenal, and was a bit shocked when the game ended and the stadium speakers blasted ABBA. Fun, yes. Confusing, also yes. All these years watching on television and listening to podcasts, no one prepared me for that. Anyway, it got me thinking about all the different post-match vibes one could create music for. What are your feelings on post-match music, and what post-match music would you select if you were in charge of your own club? Thanks, Jess. Now, I think we've had this question before, but I think just like, let's just go fresh. Like, so my feelings on post-match music is I love it. Mm. I think it's like, it's part of a, it can be create part of a, you know, like the kind of like the language and the vibe of a club.
Mm.
And actually, since you just mentioned Aquemini, I think I would go through a phase of playing Spotiotti Dopalicious at yes. full time, because it's just a, it's a good, happy kind of bouncer.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I would play, I love that as an idea, because you, the theme you're looking at, the good, happy, I would play Tame Impala's Why Don't You Make Up Your Mind, because I think that psychedelic music in a stadium has a warmth to it that brings everyone with them. It's very warm, wholesome, whether you're going out into the evening, going out into the day, it's got like a warmth, whether you've won or lost, that carries you out in a really beautiful way. So I think that would be the one. So yeah, Tame Impala, and also because it's such a long song, it has that build to it and it's quite epic. And I think when you're dispersing crowds, whether they're happy or sad, I think you need good mood music for dispersal. So it's not the most up-tempo, wild, like having people do anti-up, because if you've won a game and you're too urgent, it might like overwhelm the stewards, but it's kind of, it's the closest song I would say in my kind of listening rotation to a lullaby. So yeah, that'd be mine. Tame Impala, Why Don't You Make Up Your Mind?
All right, let's have a couple more before we get out of here. This one from Kyle Robbins. Hey lads, happy new year to you both. Happy new year to you, Kyle. My question is, money isn't an issue.
Oh my God.
You're able to build your dream round the world football trip, but you're only allowed to visit one city and watch a single game for one club each continent.
Oh my God.
Where are you going? Why? And in what order would your trip go?
Do you want to go first? Because I've always jumped in. I've been jumping in at all.
No. You go.
I don't know where I would start, but I know I'd definitely end in Buenos Aires with Boca.
Superclásico.
River Plate. Superclásico, yes.
Yeah, it was on my list.
Really? I'm ending there because I've never been to Argentina.
Me neither.
And with Buenos Aires, I mean, the food, oh my goodness. The vibes.
Superclásico is a must. That's our South America done.
That's the last one, isn't it? Yeah. Romeo done.
At La Bombonera?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. So that's our one. We could do this together because I think we're going to be really similar.
Yeah. Yeah. Or we could just see each other at like, but not acknowledge each other. Like Bruce Wayne, hey. like Bruce Wayne and Alfred. We just nod each other. We just raise a glass.
Yeah.
I feel like a bit of a cliche city. I've already been to, I think I go to the Classico.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. But I've been to the Camp Nou, so I'd like to go to the Bernabeu. I would like to see it. I would like to see it at the Bernabeu, the new one. I know that's a bit cliche city, but I would like that.
Interesting.
That's definitely another one. I'm not sure again.
So that's your European one?
Yeah, it is actually. Because it's my bucket list, I've got to say. I know it's shallow, but Madrid, Barcelona, even now, with all of that, just, I'd love it actually.
I think my European one would actually be, I think I'd like to do a Basque derby. So that's my other shout for a European one. Or I think the Old Firm at Parkhead.
Be amazing. The vibes. Also, you get Glasgow thrown in as well. Incredible city.
Great city.
Vibes upon vibe. If I was doing that, I'd get the train.
Get the train to Glasgow is amazing.
Oh my God. That's a spectacle in itself.
Yep.
Up through Newcastle. Gorgeous.
There are a lot on the bucket list, but I think we have to pick one for Europe, right? So yours would be the Classico. It has to be. I do like the Classico at the Bernabeu, though.
That's the thing. I just haven't done it. And just when else would you get to?
I think my slight reluctance to do that at the moment is it doesn't feel like the Classico is in a great place.
I know exactly what you mean. But then I think, when would this be? If this is next year and Kylian's there.
Yeah, and you got like, exactly. Hopefully Barca stop re-signing people that they just don't need when they've got this incredibly fun young core coming through that they could just build around and the place would actually be quite fun.
Gabby's back from injury.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, all right, let's say it. No, do
also,
you know what?
After Real have won, also Real defending their Champions League title.
I'm going to say the 2020... Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to say the 2025 Classico at the Bernabeu.
That makes sense, right?
2025.
Yeah.
Maybe 26, but 25.
And we'll do a Stadio Live before.
Oh.
Not doing after, tell you that much. Not the condition I'll be in. Get this man out of here.
So we've got Europe and we've got South America.
Mm.
Soweto Derby, 100%.
Oh my God.
Kaiser Chiefs, Orlando Pirates, just no brainer.
So I was thinking of going Al Ahly game. Ooh. Up in Egypt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That'd be a vibe.
Does it have to be club football though? Because like...
No, it doesn't. It's just football. But then, but these are the ties that stick out to me because they generate... A derby has all that pre-existing emotion, right? You're not coming to it cold, like let's say a friendly where there's... So I was going to throw out a couple of countries in a friendly. I thought, no, it's like I'm slandering them. I apologize to the countries I was going to mention playing together in a friendly where I said, I was going to say, imagine a friendly with no vibes. And I was going to name these two countries together. I won't say them on the podcast, but that friendly would not have vibes. It's safe to say. Whereas there's something about a derby where you just have that energy already, you know?
What are we doing for North America? El Tráfico?
Oh no, Columbus, man.
Against?
Anyone. Columbus at home though.
I think you're pandering a little bit here.
Well, no, because I get to hang out with that guy, Hanif Aduakib, culture critic.
Absolute G.
Yeah, who is like a big football guy as well. So then it becomes like a football thing. It becomes like a kind of football and culture. All right. Book clubs, poetry, old black community. Listen, taking us in college football as well.
We've got South America, North America, Europe, Africa, done.
Mm. Yokohama against Kashima Antlers.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that. Yeah.
Football will be amazing and the vibes will be amazing. So yeah, that's my shout, I think.
Yeah, I like that. I'd like to go to...
Also, because then you get Tokyo thrown in.
Yeah.
I know that's a bit of a...
Melbourne derby?
Yeah, I'll take that. It's basically all derbies, isn't it?
Mm.
Because you're guaranteed a vibe. That's the key, isn't it?
Yeah. Melbourne derby would be great.
The order would have to be, I mean, just for like jet lag purposes and...
Start in Europe.
Yeah. And then move.
And we go Europe, Africa, Asia, Oceania.
Start in Europe and go east.
North America, South America. And never to be seen again.
Never to be seen again. No. And can I be honest with you? I'd go off the deep end and I would disappear in South America, but not in Argentina. Real ones would know. That is when I changed my SIM card. End of the tour. Change my SIM card.
You just get the only known sighting of Moussa Kwanga after that moment would be on like in the background on the next series of like Chef's Table or something. It just happens to pop up in like Santiago.
Chef's Table.
Hang on a minute. That's Moussa in the background. Let's finish on this one from Jack McHugh. What manager or player would you most like to do a mundane activity with? For example, mowing the lawn with Klopp, grocery shopping with Kylian Mbappe.
Oh my goodness.
Mundane activity. I might go...
You know those window cleaners on those, like, you know when you're working an office block?
That doesn't sound mundane.
No, but hear me out. So you know those like window cleaners and they have that like, and they would swivel it with such precision. It would look so class. It looked like whitewashing. It was such a precision and skill to it. I reckon, like not on a high rise apartment block, but window cleaning with someone like a Bielsa, right? Because they would be so elegant in everything they did. They'd make it look spellbinding. Like they would do someone like that, like watching someone like that chop red onions would just, they'd be such a kind of like precise, like clean, that I think someone like that, I think watching like a really precise football manager do something mundane, it takes on a higher level of, yeah.
So let me get this straight. So you want to be suspended high in the air Marcelo Bielsa?
I mean, not necessarily suspended. I mean, I like to watch him clean windows.
But you have to be there with him. So yeah, you're going to have to be...
I'll hold the bucket of suds then. Hold the soap bucket. Oh, Moussa, would you mind? And then I'll be like, okay. I think watching someone do something that precise because there is such a skill, and like he wouldn't leave a spot. You know, Bielsa would not leave a spot of suds on the window. It would look amazing. Like, it was so artful.
Like the way you said, hold the bucket, and I didn't even pick up on the pun there.
You see the vision.
Well, you didn't even realize though, so don't play that game with me.
I'd love to say I did. I didn't.
I'm going to go fan bias.
What's that?
I want to go for a fry up in a greasy spoon with Aaron Ramsdale.
Oh, but that's like...
That's mundane. Going for a fry up is quite mundane, right?
It's with Ramsdale. Like,
and then, but I'll go with Aaron Ramsdale.
Right, and that would not be a mundane experience.
But I know it wouldn't, but and cleaning windows with Bielsa would be.
I mean, compared to that, yes. It'd be, I suppose, a fry up isn't a mundane thing.
It's not a mundane activity.
Not to me. But I see it though. I like it. Make a great short film. I mean, removing blue tack from a wall, that's mundane.
I've got it.
There it is.
I want to go to an Anne Meldon appointment at the Burger Amp with Xabi Alonso.
Oh my God.
There you go.
That's amazing. I want to go shopping for household goods with Sean Dyche. And what type of cleaner? Oh, that one. Oh, that gets into all the cracks. All that one.
No, after his curry thing recently, I want to go shopping for like, you're going to cook a curry with Sean Dyche and you need to go shopping with him. So
there it is.
He's just going like, no, don't get that one. That one's not the good one. Get this one. This one's the better one.
That's the fluffy rice. Get the fluffy rice. Ryan, get the...
Check the jar though, because some of these have got loads of sugar in.
That's it. Shopping for spices is Sean Dyche. Sean Spice.
Spice Dyche.
Spice Spices.
Dyche of your life.
You know, if he released the range of spices right now, if he dropped the Dyche spice range, it would go off. You know it would.
There you go.
The next journalist to take him, to have the guts to take him a curry, or to take him like, no, the next journalist have the guts to take Sean Dyche a particular spice they found and be like, that's the one, Sean. Can you imagine like going up to him like pre-interview and being like, that's the one. As a conversation opener, it would be a great one, I think. And now every journalist is going to do it.
I'd like to put together some flat pack furniture with Clarence Seedorf. Because for some reason, that just seems like two worlds.
That should never collide. The only thing that would have been weirder than that would have been seeing Isco in an IKEA in Berlin, and we nearly saw that.
I want to see Isco's face in the crisp section of a Berlin supermarket with just 300 variations of paprika crisps.
Yes.
That's it.
We nearly saw that.
Yeah, we nearly did. We were robbed of one of the all-time great...
Greatest culture, the greatest transfers. Culture clashes. And then within 6 months, he's got a DJ set.
Isco closing Panorama Bar.
Panorama, exactly. He's Refuge Radio.
Wow.
On a scooter. He'd have a scooter within 6 months. He would.
All right, so there you go. Window cleaning with Bielsa and what was mine?
Shopping for spice with Sean Dyche.
Yeah, but that doesn't sound mundane. That sounds ironically quite fun.
They're all
you wouldn't
quite
let
fun.
Me have going for just going for a fry up with Aaron Ramsdale.
You can have it.
I just want to do that. Sounds fun. Aaron, if you're listening and you want to go for a fry up, give me a shout.
Up in Finsbury Park.
Give Ian a shout.
Yeah.
He'll give you my details.
That could actually happen.
I would love to. I would, you know what, I would genuinely love to go. I don't know why, but you know, there's some people that are just like good breakfast pals.
That's true, actually.
I don't know. I just think Aaron Ramsdale would be good.
It's a great company. It's a great shout.
Yeah. Also, could you shout out his pass that he hit in like the second minute to Reece Nelson on the weekend?
He was locked in, wasn't he? I love Ramsdale.
All right, let's get out of here.
Let's do it.
First Stadio 2024 in the books.
Great to be back.
Yeah, it's all right.
Beefing with some podcasts.
I'm going to beef with you more this year. Oh, yeah, whoa. Royal Society.
There he is.
Someone recognised you, did they? Bumped into someone in London, did you? Anyway, all right, everyone, we'll be back on Thursday. Thanks for joining us for this first Stadio 2024. Felt a little bit rusty, Moussa, not going to lie.
I was locked in. I'm locked in, mate.
I hope everyone's staying safe, staying well, wherever you are. Don't forget to check the Stadio Archers playlist on Spotify. Speaking of which, first one of the year, playing out on Charlene Houston and Jock's track called Just Like a Fool. Anything you'd like to add, Moose Rock Wonga?
Nothing further, nothing further.
All right, everyone, much love. We will be back with you on Thursday.
See you then.
Do you remember when you told me you'll always love me and you never ever go away? And I listen, yes, I believe you, just like a fool. You said you needed me beside you, someone to guide you, someone to lean on when you were blue. And I listened, yes, I believed you, just like a fool. But then last night, you came to tell me you didn't want me anymore. You told me you'd found a new love. Then you turned and walked out the door. Now you're telling me you love me. She's gone and left you. And you want me to come back to you. Now with tears in my eyes, I'm listening to your lies. And you want to come back to my arms. Go back and find another girl who will trust you, just like a fool. But then last night, you came to tell me you didn't want me anymore. Told me you found a new love, and then you turned and walked out the door. Now you're telling me.